Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners of cleaning companies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on anything and everything related to building and growing cleaning companies. If that's you and you are committed to growing your cleaning company, check out growmycleaningcompany.com. You will find everything you need to create the cleaning company you have always wanted. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or give us a call with any feedback you've got, 480-648-5149. We are always excited to hear from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Paul Bodine from LA Maids. LA serves the Los Angeles area with residential and commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Paul and his team, you get a hold of them at lamaids.us. Paul, welcome to the show. Say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. Thank you, Mike.
So glad to have you on the show. And I was hoping to start right off the bat with getting a little, you told me a little bit about your business model, which is kind of different than what we're used to having. I would love for you to introduce kind of what you do and how you do it to Cleaning Nation. Then we'll jump into the regular show.
Sure. Yeah, it's pretty common in where we do business in Southern California. But I know in certain parts of the country, or maybe many parts of the country, it's not quite as common. But we're basically a referral agency. And so what that means really is we don't have employees working for us. We work with independent contractors. And so our job is essentially just a marketing arm for these folks. But we do a lot of the communications, a lot of the handholding with the customers. But essentially the cleaning crews are independent contractors. So we don't have any way to direct them, or legally within the state of California, I don't know how it works in different other states, but we can't really direct their cleaning processes or tell them what products to use or equipment to use. They're pretty much on their own. But we work that to our advantage in terms of making it more of a customized service. And, you know, our responsibility is really matching our customers' needs with the right crew, since each crew has their own ways of doing things.
Gosh, so how did you get into that business?
Well, in the cleaning business in general, or in the referral agency specifically?
Both.
Well, the cleaning business, my wife had some experience in it on the janitorial side. She'd run some janitorial businesses in the past, in addition to some other businesses. I had never really owned a business before. I'd kind of grew up and worked in corporate America all my life. And when I finally couldn't take that anymore after about 35 years, we decided to open up this company. And we actually started as a traditional cleaning business with employees, and wasn't too long before we decided we thought we might have a better way of going if we went the referral agency route. And in terms of that type of business, I had some experience in that work of staffing through my experience with Robert Half International, which is a pretty large staffing agency here in the United States. So had some background in that kind of a business model and applied it to cleaning, and we switched from having employees and started hiring independent contractors.
Cool. So it sounds like you kind of combined your wife's experience with the cleaning industry and your experience with the staffing industry and came up with a hybrid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so she's, you know, pretty much on the operations side of the business, and I'm on the sales and marketing, since that was my experience in corporate America for years.
Cool. Yeah, I've had people on the show, and I'm familiar with like a franchise model, where it sounds like a little more formal in terms of a relationship between the cleaner and the customer than what you've got. But I love your take on that. All right, so gosh, let's just jump right in. How can I help you today?
Well, one of the things that's kind of the thing that's foremost on my mind right now, and on a daily basis, we're struggling with having the contractors just report their status. So that we can plan their schedule, so that we can, if we get calls for them and they've got open time on their schedule, that we can make sure we can tell the customers what time they're going to be able to arrive. that we're able to charge the customers accurately based on how long they're going to be there and what they, you know, what they quoted the customer. Because that may change. I mean, we may take a new customer and estimate a particular job, and they get there and it's less or more. We need to know that information so that we can charge. We need to know that information so we can schedule the rest of their day correctly. And it's just a challenge to get them to communicate. We have different ways they can do that, through text or through an online application that they can access through their smartphones, an app on their smartphones. But or they can just call the office. But, you know, even though they've got those multiple ways of communicating with us, a lot of times they just don't. So we're kind of find ourselves flying in the dark often because we don't have communication from the field.
Okay. That's a great question. And I think even though Cleaning Nation may not have that exact same pain, I'm sure there's, no matter your business model, there's kind of that, there's always going to be that friction between I want my employees to do X or conduct themselves in Y, and their human nature is maybe a little lazier, maybe a little I'm not interested in that, or there's not, they don't see the value for them, so they want to do their own thing, and that creates tension, whether it's a franchisee, an employee, a subcontractor, or your spouse, for crying out loud. So let's jump into that, and hopefully we give some value not just to you but to Cleaning Nation. First of all, do you have, and this is a little trickier with what you've got, I'm a big fan and proponent of core values and having really clear core values of the rules that you play by and the things that are important to you and that guide how you do business. Have you spent any time creating or discovering your own personal core values?
Yes, it's in terms of personal and business-wise, yes, we have.
Perfect. Yeah, are you, is that something you're willing to share?
Well, sure. I think at the core is to provide value to our customer base and to our workers, in this case, our independent contractors, to create an environment where they can develop themselves as much as possible within their own goals for their lives, and also to provide maximum value for the price to our customers. So, I mean, those are the things that kind of drive us.
Okay. And I promise we're going to get to your, I almost always start with a philosophical answer and then get down to the tactical,
sure.
But the tactical doesn't often make sense unless we've got the same philosophical foundation to jump off of. So first of all, I want to encourage you, if you've got core values, they need to be tight. So for me, and if you've listened to the show at all, you've heard me say, have fun, make money, be real, help out. I can say them rote. I can say them in my sleep. You can talk to someone that was employed with me 5 years ago and go, hey, when you worked with Mike, what was your, whatever company you worked with them under, what was the core values of that company? And they'll go, have fun, make money, be real, help out. So there's no, well, I think it was kind of, sort of, and it's not a whole sentence or paragraph or page. It's have fun, make money, be real, help out. So I would encourage you to really distill those down and get it so anyone could walk up to any of your not just contractors, but vendors or bankers or the people that you work for, your clients, and they'd go, oh yeah, LA Cleaners, they're all about bop, 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 bop. So it's real clear, and there's no, because what you just said, I have a feeling if I asked you that a month from now, you would describe them in a very different way, and I might get a different thing, and then that's tough. You want everyone to be on the same, have fun, make money, be real, help out for you. Obviously, I'm not saying you need to adopt my core values, but where they're very, very clear. So when you've got that foundation, ideally, when you go out to the marketplace to look for either clients or prospective employees, you're going out with those core values way out in front. So two things are going to happen, and they're both pretty magical and will help. I promise we're going to get to the problem that you asked about in a more direct line. But when you get to those, or when you go out with that message and that who you are, you're going to do two things, both of which are beneficial. First, people that aren't into what you're talking about. Let's just say personal development. I kind of heard a little bit of a theme. People that aren't into personal development, they're like, listen, man, I just want a paycheck. I don't need any of this nonsense. They're going to steer clear of your organization, which is fantastic. Now, the other people that align clearly with your core values, and that's why it's so important that you're clear with them, right? Because they have to align with your actual core values, not what they thought that you might have said on a certain day, depending on your attitude or your mood or how you're feeling that day. But they actually align. They hear, and I'm going to use mine because I'm familiar with them, but have fun at work. Wow, that sounds like a really cool thing. Be real. I've always felt like I had a mask up and I don't want to have a mask up. And look at this, the guy that I talk to, whether it's Mike or my supervisor or my coworker, if we go to dinner outside of this, or we're in a good situation or a bad situation, they're the exact same person. I love that. I'm really attracted to that. So you're going to repel people that don't share your core values, and you're going to really be a magnet for people that do, which is awesome because I'm guessing if you're like most of us in this industry, you're dealing with near minimum wage folks, maybe a little higher in LA, but still kind of living wage type people. And the problem with those people are they've had a bunch of jobs and they've probably been kicked around a lot. And just like we sometimes see them as a commodity, they see us as a commodity. So if and when you get to be quote unquote a hassle or a headache, or you start asking them to do a bunch of paperwork they're not interested in, easy for them to fly off and go, forget it. I'm just going to get another job. But when you've got the shared core values that you've attracted them to, and they feel like they're part of something bigger, they're going to take a second pause and go, you know what? I can't, maybe I can get that $12.50 an hour, whatever your rate is somewhere else, but I can't get this community and this feeling and this core values. And I'm probably going to get a boss that doesn't share them. And it builds a community and it builds people sticking around longer. So that said, if your core value is like, is to be personal development, it is reasonable for you to expect people to fill out the paperwork and keep you in the loop because they want to make sure, I'm guessing the core values that you have, people that shared those core values would be interested and willing in filling out that paperwork. So the hardest job in the world is to try and get somebody that's not into personal development, if that's one of your core values, and try and convince them of the value of personal development. That's a fool's errand. It's expensive, it's time consuming, and it will suck the life force out of you. But one of the most encouraging jobs that you can do is take someone that's really into self-development and encourage and stoke that fire and help them achieve what they already want. So long story short, all that to say, it took 7.5 minutes to explain. You want to attract the people that are going to be open to your message already. If the people that you've got aren't open to it, all the tactics I'm going to give you aren't going to work. You need to replace the people that aren't open to it to people that are open to it to make your life a lot easier. So that's the big foundation. Any questions or comments or rude remarks before we go on?
I would just make the comment that I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. Is it's in my kind of research into how into staffing is a lot about hiring, and you're right. You got to have the right people up front with those values up front, or you're going to be struggling, the whole time because they're just going to they're going to be fighting it the whole time. They're going to might pay lip service to what you're saying, but their heart's not going to be in it.
Yeah, and even if you bully them into doing it, your life sucks. It's just, I've done that. It's not a fun place. And then the people that did show up because they did resonate with your core values, they're going to look over and go, oh, this is just another job. I thought this was a real special opportunity in place, but it looks like that isn't really the core values because they're not carrying them out with everybody. So it can really hurt. All right, now that we've got a good philosophical foundation laid, let's do a little tactical before we hit the lightning round. But a couple tactical ways you can do that is, first of all, sounds like, and we don't need to get into technology or the application that you use, it sounds like you've got a technological backbone running your system. If it doesn't have a GPS component, I would add that. That way there's no, that eliminates all the call in and this and that. You know where they were. And I know there are systems out there, and I don't want to promote anyone, but I know there are systems out there that talk about or that have that integration where they've got a GPS and it can just clock in where they are, when they are, and you don't have to worry about where they're at. Second of all, I found, again, this really works supercharged with all employees, or really is supercharged with employees that line up with your core values. But when you don't have that, or when you do, this still works to a degree, is people will do what you pay them to do exactly. So I don't like having the rules set up where it is beholden on me or the management team to arm wrestle and beg and plead, and there's this tension. I realize I get to set all the rules for this whole game, right? If anything exists because this is my company, it is because I created it. And if I am begging or pleading or arm wrestling or cajoling my employees, well, that's because I've set up a system that requires me or my management staff to do that. So who's the idiot that set up the system? Well, that was me. Well, why don't I, get some brains and set up a different system? So I found that people are motivated by pay. So instead of begging and pleading, I would set it up where if you would like to get paid, these are the things that need to happen. And if they don't happen, that's no problem for us. We just can't or don't process your pay. I found when you do that, magically, they get really creative in terms of, oh my gosh, I will fill up my paperwork and it will be done correctly. Do you have any sort of tie between them doing what they need to do in terms of communication and getting their paycheck?
It's more specific to making sure that the paperwork is in, so we actually even know what to pay them, and making sure that that they make their deposits of any checks or cash that they pick up, that those deposits have to be made before obviously they can get their check. But tied back to this particular issue, no, we haven't used that issue to force the issue.
Well, the cool thing is you're not bullying them or like, I'll teach you a lesson. You're just putting the weight of this problem where it belongs. You're taking that into you and your management staff, and it shouldn't be there. It's not your job. So you're not saying, haha, I'm going to teach you a lesson, you dirty employee. You're saying, man, if you're aware of our core values, and again, you always got to tie it back to the core values. If you're aware of our core values, it's, you know, being on top of crap or whatever your thing is. And we really want to make sure that your pay is correct. But because we didn't know where you were or what you did or how you were available, we couldn't pay you. So, you know, and the problem is now if you fill out the paperwork, you're going to have to wait to get that paycheck till the next paycheck. And I know it can seem punitive, and I know people can get pissy about it and maybe even lose some people. But sometimes you got to lose a couple battles to win the war. So that would be the first thing I would do is tie pay to it. Not to be a jerk or to be punitive, just to go, folks, I need good data to pay you. I'm not going to make it up. I'm not going to guess. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to come to your home and say, please, please, Susan, how many hours did you work today? Either you turn in your paperwork and it's correct and we process your pay, or you don't and we can't. And we're not going to steal your money, of course. You'll just have to, we can't process your pay until you've given us the information. And if you give it after this, in whatever pay period you give us the information, that is the pay period, we'll pay it. That's all there is to it. The flip side is I'm a huge fan of not just the carrot, but the stick. And I hate to say it, but money and recognition are really the two things that people go to. So you want to make sure you're not just having the stick with, if you don't comply, we cannot process pay. And again, you can't beg them. As soon as you, even if they do it, as soon as you call or ask or say, hey, Susie, or remind them, the jig is up. You've got to do zero things and have them come to you and go, Paul, where's, I didn't get my paycheck this week. You go, oh, that seems odd. Let's find out what happened. Oh, well, I haven't got any hours, or you didn't do A, B, or C, so we weren't able to process it. What the hell, Paul? You always remind, where's my reminder? Where's my begging? Where's my ego? Oh, we don't do that. So, really that's what you got to do is tie the pay to their specific behavior. And then the flip side is you want to give rewards and recognition for the people that do a really good job and exemplify that in front of other people. So that would be the two tactical things, is make sure you reward and recognize the people that are doing it well, and make sure that when they don't do their job, the system makes it a headache in their world, as opposed to right now, the system makes it a headache in your world. And as long as that's the system that you're all working with, this problem will not change. Okay, so I've run a little bit long. I want to get to the lightning round, but before we do, I want to make sure I answered your questions. I didn't create 100 other questions. Anything else you need before we hit the lightning round?
I think you give me enough to think about right there.
Okay, cool. Well, in that case, let's do the lightning round. This will give you the opportunity to give back to Cleaning Nation. Three quick questions. I have full faith you're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what is the best piece of advice you have ever received?
Well, I think one of the best pieces of advice, I don't know if it's the best, but one of the best pieces of advice I received was from my uncle, who's been in business for many years. As I mentioned to you, I'd been in corporate America, so I never really ran my own business. And one of the things he said was, don't mess with payroll. Get yourself a payroll company and let them handle it. And I started the first couple of years of probably 2 or 3 years of the business trying to do all the payroll myself, and handing it off to a professional company who handles all that's been a big help for me, a big weight off my mind. So that's one good piece of advice I got.
Yeah, that is solid. Not only is it solid, but I don't think that's a great piece of advice, and B, I don't think we've had that on the show before, which is odd because it's really solid. And I think I learned that lesson early on. I never try to do it in house, but yeah, you're not kidding. One fee or late thing or screw up from the government can pay for your entire payroll company for a year. So hear, Paul Bowden. All right. Or Bodine. Sorry. Biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business. Maybe you can save us some steps or headache.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake is in my choice of cutting people loose. In retrospect, you know, we have some certain rules we set up in terms of things that need to be complied to. And one of our big issues, I don't know if it's probably the same all in companies that have employees as well, but the crews that decide to go freelance, and you know, they get offered all the time. They get offered, hey, you know, come to work for me directly. You don't need to pay the company fee. Sure. And so we were pretty strict on basically letting people go if we found out that they had succumbed to that temptation. And looking back on it, we let go of some pretty good crews, and we probably should have worked with them a little bit more, because I think it probably hurt the company more losing them than the little bit of business that they might have been pilfering on the side. So I would say that's probably the biggest mistake that we've made so far.
Okay. And I can't help myself with the coach, but I just want to say one quick thing and throw it in there. I would really encourage you, Paul, to tie that back to the core values. Like for me and my companies, we had have fun, help out, be real, and make money in no particular order with the core values. But an underlying thing, which everybody knew right off the bat, I didn't have it as a core value because I thought it was just table stakes to work for us, was if you ever lie, cheat, or steal, you're fired. Period. End of sentence. We no lying, no cheating, no stealing ever. From us, from the company, from each other, we do not employ liars, cheaters, or thieves. And never had a problem with that. We attracted the right people. And for me, I'm not saying this would be for you. I just want to make sure, mostly for Cleaning Nation, you've always got to go with your core values first. So if you had a core value of integrity, I can't see a possible way of you letting anyone stay that didn't show high integrity in any regard. So I'm not saying those are your core values or that's important to you. I'm just saying make sure that's a big one. That's a big philosophical stance. And I would tie it to your core values, not just to, had we kept them around, it would have made us more dollars than had we left them. Again, sometimes there's an unintended consequence to actions that we don't see. So I just encourage you to make sure you tie hiring and firing to core values 1,000%. Sorry to keep beating that drum. It's just so damn important. All right. Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice that will make their business or their lives better?
Okay. I'll take that into consideration.
Yeah, cool. And again, not to say that right, wrong, or indifferent. Just as long as it's tied to the core values, you're safe. That said, last question, what's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice that will make their business or their lives better?
Well, I think this is one concept that would help both in our just our personal lives and certainly in our business. And that is just to try to create a culture of trust where you're not, you're kind of your first, impression would be to extend trust to your workers and trust to your customers. And of course, there's going to be times when they let you down, but I think that to be proactive with that trust creates a better environment all the way around. And you can kind of weed out the customers that are not worthy of that trust or the workers who aren't, and move on with the ones that are and have a better overall environment to work in.
Gosh, I could not agree more, Paul, whether it's in a marriage or parent-child relationship or employee-employer relationship. I have found, the science backs it up, but I have personally found that the more trust that you give, the more people step up to that. And are you going to get let down? Absolutely. But the overwhelming result is going to be trustworthiness. So that is probably some of the most insightful lightning round genius we have gotten. The award for this week goes to Paul. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I truly appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Paul's show notes page and get everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's at growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.